Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Vav. We are holding on daf Hey Amud Beis, about 10 or 11 lines from the end of the page at Vahaya B'chachet. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored by the Virtual Halacha Program, in honor of starting Hilchos Brachos, the program which, under the auspices of Rav Nevin Sal Shlita, provides the flexibility to learn Halacha at a high level whenever you can, wherever you are. Visit vihalacha.com for more information. Also by the Mishra family, in honor of the 30th anniversary of Jeff's Bar Mitzvah, Shabbos Parshas Lech Lecha. Also by Joshua and Jonathan Kaplan, in memory of their father, Philip Kaplan, Shraga Yehuda ben Avram, Zichron Levra, whose 5th yard site will be marked this Shabbos, the 10th of Cheshvan. May his neshama have an aliyah. And also by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer, in memory of HaChaver Naftali ben Meir, whose yard site is today, neshama shav an aliyah. We thank very much, we thank all the sponsors very much for their sponsorship. So we are holding again on Daf Hey Amud Beis, about 10 or 11 lines from the end of the page, V'hayu B'chachet. And that exactly is going to be the first topic. What does V'hayu B'chachet come to exclude? B'chachet as opposed to who? Who else is not responsible for our Bal Ta'achar? Of course it's B'chachet. So we're going to have two possible explanations of what we're coming to exclude when the Torah says Vahya B'chachet. Then the Gemara is going to derive from the Pasuk to which where Bal Ta'achar applies, to which obligations does Bal Ta'achar apply, and why we need all of these limudim and they weren't all self-evident. And then the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit about the difference between a neder and a nedava. We're also going to discuss the concept of Bal Ta'achar as it applies to tzedakah. A person commits to give to tzedakah, there's also an inyan of Bal Ta'achar. The Gemara is then going to say that even though Bal Ta'achar, we have a whole machlokas about how many regalim have to pass before you violate Bal Ta'achar, that's as far as the los asay of Bal Ta'achar, but as far as the asay, that happens right away. Regel achas, one regal passes, a person violates an asay of Bal Ta'achar. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the isra of Bal Ta'achar each and every day once the three regalim pass, meaning yes, it takes a certain amount of time till you get to the point of Bal Ta'achar, but once you've gotten to the point of Bal Ta'achar, then it's a new violation each and every day. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how it's possible there's going to be a line where we mention, oh, you know, if a year passes without the regalim passing, or a regal passes without a year passing, or the regalim, the three regalim pass without a year passing, but those are both possibilities. So Gemara is going to say, how are those both possibilities? How could a year pass without three regalim passing? By definition, if you made it through the whole cycle, you made it through three regalim. The other way, you understand, you could have three regalim without a full year passing if you start the clock on Erev Pesach, so three regalim will pass. By the time Sukkot is over, 6.5 months later, 6 months later. But now that's going to be a discussion on Amud Beis, and that's going to lead us to a discussion of the date of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, when we should celebrate the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Is it always Vav Sivan, or does it perhaps change to different dates depending on the year as well? Then the Gemara is going to conclude, the Daf is going to conclude with three different shailas of details of Bal Ta'acher. The Gemara is going to discuss whether Yoresh violates Bal Ta'acher, whether an Isha violates Bal Ta'acher, how we count the year when it comes to a Bechar in Bal Ta'acher. So we'll get to at least one or two of those today. So let's begin. V'hayu b'chachet, 10, 11 lines from the end of the page. V'hayu b'chachet, so says Gemara, first drasha we make is v'lo b'karbon chachet, that maybe the miut is that even though if a person goes three regalim without bringing his obligations, he has violated an aveira, but it doesn't affect the chefts of the carbon. The carbon is still going to be a valid carbon. So even though the bailum of the carbon has violated the aveira of Bal Ta'acher, but the carbon could still be brought. So says Gemara, v'hame hachanavka, is that, do we really learn that din from here? Midach Acherim nafka. I already know that din, that the carbon is not possible from Acherim. Titanya Acherim Omrim, because the Pasuk, the Brisa tells us that Acherim teach us that a Bechar, which you're supposed to be makriv and eat within the first year of its birth, it says, Lefnei Hashem Elokecha Tochlenu Shana Bishana, that means within 1 year of its birth. So Yachol Yei Bechar She'avra Shnaso Kipsulei HaMakdashin. So you might think that a Bechar, once it's more than a year old, has a din of Psulei HaMakdashin, has a din like a Balmum, the apostle, and should never be brought as a carbon. So that once you violate Bal Ta'acher of the Bechar by not bringing it in its first year, that's it. It's pasul. That's why the pasuk says that you should eat the Fnei Hashem Elokecha, Meiser Degancha, Tirosh Chavitzarecha, V'chol Choros Bekar Chavitzonecha. Makesh Bechor LeMeiser. So apparently the pasuk itself links Bechor to Meiser. So Ma Meiser Einu Nifsal Mishana LeChaverta. Just like if you delay giving your Meisros from one year to the next, they don't become possible. You just take care of it the following year. So Af Bechor Einu Nifsal Mishana LeChaverta. So too, even though Bechor, the real obligation is to take care of it within that first year, but if you didn't, based on the Hekesh to Meiser, we learned that it does not become possible. So the Gemara is asking this as a question. Why do I need our pasuk to teach me that the carbon does not become possible when you violate Balta Acher? Acherim already taught me that by a Bechor, which is an example of a carbon, when you violate Balta Acher by not bringing it in the first year, it doesn't become possible. So the same is true by all carbonos. I don't need by a Bechor for such a drasha. Says, well, no, it's Chsalka Daita Chamina, Hani Mili Bechor, Delav Nei Artsohu. I would think that that's only a din by Bechor, that it doesn't become possible after a year passes, because a Bechor is not there to provide kapara for anything. Avol kachim de b'nei ratzon inu, but those kachim that come to provide kapara, you know, it goes without saying that, you know, a chatas and an ashram provide kapara, but even an ola gives kapara for mitzvah sasei. The shlamim are given as a gift to be matal shalom between klal Yisrael and aviyam shabbat shemayim. So there's some element of hartzah even in that. So ema lo lirtzu, I might think that they don't accomplish that sense of hartzah, that sense of smoothing things over in the relationship between klal Yisrael and the ribbono shel olam, and therefore because you violated bal ta'acher, so kamash mela, and that's why it has to tell me that even so they don't become pasul. So exactly what was the hava meaning? I would think lo lirtzu, and therefore what? So the lashon lo lirtzu is not mashma that it's a psul in the etzema karban, but it could be that the drasha means to say that with the gemara means to say that without the drasha from the pasuk, we would think that it's not meratza lebailim, but the carbon would still be kasher legabe mizbech, but it doesn't accomplish the ritzui that the bailim needs. However, the Yerushalmi says shelo taumar shema yimtza zevach pasul lefum kein tzarech meimar vayibuchachet v'lo b'karbon chachet, which sounds like that without the pasuk, the carbon itself would have been pasul. That's why I need the pasuk. Tell me that the carbon itself is not a psul in the carbon. From the context of the Gemara, that sounds like the most likely explanation of what the Hava Amina would have been without that pasuk. The Achronim do raise a question over here, that now that the Torah is megala by kachim, that even those kachim that are b'nei hartza'ah do not become pasul, so why do I need the pasuk by Bechor? Meaning, we started from the other angle. Oh, once I have Acherim teaching me by Bechor, so then why do I need pasuk vayu b'chachet v'lo b'karban chachet? But now that I have vayu b'chachet v'lo b'karban chachet, and I know that applies to all karbanos, including those that are b'nei hartza'ah, why do I need the limud that Acherim have, that were makish meiser to Bechor, to teach me that there's that it doesn't become possible when you violate Baal Tachar? So that's a kasha that the Achronim work on. So ask the Gemara, Vakati, we still don't need the miut of Loba Karban Chachet, because mid ben azay nafka, I still could have derived this din that the carbon does not become possible when you violate Baal Tachar from ben azay. Titani ben azay omer, ben azay tells us that the pasuk says in the parsha of Pigul, it says oso, so matam alomar lefishnamer lo sachar l'shalmo shomer ni Ma'acher Nidro b'Bal Yiratza. So I would assume that even someone who's Ma'acher Nidro, someone who violates Bal Ta'acher, is included in Bal Yiratza, meaning the carbon becomes possible. Tamalomar Oso below Yiratza. No, that's why the pasuk by Pigul has a miut, that Dafka Pigul is below Yiratza. Pigul becomes possible as a carbon, becomes an invalid carbon. But Ve'in Ma'acher Nidro below Yiratza, if a person violates Bal Ta'acher, it's a special drasha from the pasuk by Pigul to tell me Dafka that a person who violates Baal Tacher has not ruined his carbon. So the carbon does not become possible through Baal Tacher. So what's the pasuk teaching me by Vahayu B'chachet V'lo B'karban Chachet? I already know it from Ben Azai. So says Gemara, you're right. Now we're backing out of the original drasha. The drasha is not to exclude Karban Chachet, that your carbon does not become possible. We already know that. Ela B'chachet V'lo B'ishto Chachet. The drasha is to tell me that if a person violates Baal Tacher, it's his fault. fault, and that the woman is not going to be subject to punishment for the chait of her husband. She's not going to bear the burden of that sin. Why would I think she would? I might think that since Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Elazar tells me that a woman, a man's wife, only dies unless a man's wife dies from the avera of when they ask him for money that he owes, money that he stole, and he doesn't have what to pay with. Shneimar, because the pasuk says, "Im that if you don't have what to pay, then take mishkav chamitachtecha. So mishkav chamitachtecha is a reference to his wife. So ema b'hayavon de baltaacher nami ishto mesa. So I might think with the avera of baltaacher, a person's wife will also die. So that's why it has to tell me kamash malan that a woman is not punished for her husband's sin in this regard, and therefore only the husband is punished for the Baal Ta'achar. The wife is not going to be punished for Baal Ta'achar. That's the limud from the pasuk of Vahaya B'chachet. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Daflam Beis, also Masechta Nedarim, tells us that, and Masechta Ksubos, that Bavon Nedarim Ishto Mesa, that Bavon Nedarim, a man loses his wife, the wife dies. So you have to say that's Dafka, says Tosos over here in Dibra Masalam Kain, that's Dafka if he doesn't pay it at all. But if he pays it, he just violates Baal Ta'achar. He's just delayed in paying it. That's our Gemara, that his wife does not die in such a case. Tori Evan explains that the chiluk is that if he's gomer b'dayto shalol l'shalim, if he makes a decision that I will not pay, then for that he's going to be punished. But calls man that he still plans on paying, he just keeps on delaying it, so then einish to mesa. It's still wrong, he's not allowed to do it, but then his wife is not going to die. What the Tori Evan is coming to answer is the ritvas kasha. I mean, Tosos makes this chiluk. Tosos says, oh, you know when the wife dies? When he never pays it. But if he's just delaying, then the wife won't die. Ask the Ritva, and how do you know what the difference is? Meaning, never? He may change his mind tomorrow. As long as he's still alive, it's not never. And then when he dies, but yesterday was it never. So, you know, how do you get to that point where you say that it was that it's never? So the Tori Evan says, in his mind, that's how you get to that point. That if he makes a decision that I will not pay this, so then that's a never. But it's not about practically that he never pays it. It's about a decision to never pay it, says the Turi Evan. So that's answering the Ritva's Kasha on Tosfos. Okay, Tan Rabbanan. The Brisa darshans the pasuk as follows. Pasuk tells us Motzos Sasecha Tishmar Vasisa Kasher Nedata L'Hashem Elokecha Nedavar Asher Dibarta B'Ficha. So we're going to darshan each phrase in the pasuk. Motzos Vasecha Zo Mitzvah Sasei. That's a reference to the fact that there's a mitzvah Sasei to be Mekayim, that which you're obligated L'Gavoa. That the pasuk is telling me, Motzos Vasecha, that which you said, do. Tishmar, Zumitzos Losasei. We know that a Lashon of Shamar is always a Lashon of a Losasei. So that tells me that if you don't fulfill that which you were noted to do, then you're in violation of a Losasei. Va'asisa, Ashar LeBezdin, Sheye Asucha. Va'asisa doesn't mean you should do, it means Bezdin has to force you to do. Kasher Nadarta, Zeneder. Kasher Nadarta tells me that if you said, Hare Alai Karban, a Lashon Neder, then you violate this Asei and this lav, and Bezin forces you, all of this applies to a neder. L'Hashem Elokecha, Eluchatos, Vashamos, Olos, Ushlamim, that these same halachos, that there's an asay, there's a los asay, and Bezin forces you for all of these karbanos. For Chatos, Vashamos, Olos, Ushlamim, Nidava, Kimashra'u, that if you took a Belashon Nidava, you didn't say Harei Alai Karban, he said Behemazu, Karban L'Hashem, also a violation of an asay, and a los asay, and Bezin forces you, all these rules. Asher Dibarta, Elukachi Bedekabayas, that refers to Kachi Bedekabayas. You makdish an object for bedek abayis. That also all these rules apply. Beficha zut tzedaka. That beficha tells me that if you take a neder to give tzedaka to aniyim, nasei and a los hasei, and you're forced in all of these things. So now the Gemara takes it slowly, one by one. Amar, motzvah sasecha is a mitzvah sasei. Motzvah sasecha tells me that if you made a commitment, you have a mitzvah sasei to fulfill that commitment. So lamali, why do I need a lima to tell me this mitzvah sasei? We already learned back on Daf Dalid that there's a mitzvah sasei not to delay your nedarim. nedarim based on uvasa shama vevesim shama. So tishmar zumitzus losa say labali. And not only that, why do I need tishmar to tell me that there's a losa say to not pay lamalim losa achal l'shalmu nafka? There's already an isra bal tachir, so that already tells me that you're not allowed to delay in paying. So of course it's a losa say. Va'asisa asar lebezim sheyasucha lamali. And also, why do I need the pasuk of Vasisa, the word Vasisa in the pasuk, to tell me that Bezin is supposed to force me to pay all these things? Miyakrivoso nafka. We already learned from Miyakrivoso that Bezin is supposed to force a person to be Mekayim is neder. How do I know that? Titania, because the Brisa darshens the pasuk, Yakrivoso melame chakovnoso. Yakrivoso tells me it's an extra word in the pasuk, because the pasuk reads, Im ola karbono min habakar zachar tamim yakrivenu el pesach olamoed yakrivoso. So Yakrivoso is extra words in the pasuk. It just said a few words earlier, Yakrivenu. So of course Yakrivoso. So what's Yakrivoso telling me? Malame Chakofenoso. To tell me that Bezdin forces him. So Yachal Bal Karcho, you might think that Bezdin forces him in without him expressing any desire at all. Tavalomar Liritzono. That's why the pasuk also says Liritzono, that he has to bring his karban mitoch ratzon. So Haketan, if he's being forced, how can you say that it's ratzon? So the famous line, Kofenoso, Acheyom Rotzani, that they force him and they punish him until he, through all the yisurim that he's suffering by being forced, he finally relents and says rotza ani. The achronim raised the kasha that if we learn from Yakrav Oso, so the kfiyah would only be until rotza ani. Maybe that's why I need vasisa, to tell me that Bezin should force him even if he never gets to rotza ani, meaning to be yorid l'nechasav, that Bezin has to actually go and take away his stuff. So that's the kasha that the achronim ask on the Gemara's kasha. Right, the Gemara is asking over here why I need any of these drushos. All of these drushos I already know. I know that it's a mitzvah saseh already. I know that it's a mitzvah slos saseh already. And I know that there's a din of kfiyah that Beis Din is going to force a person to do these mitzvahs. So it answers the Gemara on all three shailos. Chad da amar v'lo afrish. One pasuk tells me that you violate a law that an aseh and Beis Din forces you if you have a situation where you said, I'm going to bring a karban, but he has not yet been mafresh the karban. The chad, the afresh v'lo akriv. And the other is at a later stage. You've already been mafresh the karban, you just haven't been makriv the karban. That's also, I need separate set of psukim to tell me, that's also a violation of an asay and a los asay and a subject to kfiyas based in. Why do I need both of those things? Utsricha. We need both of those psukim because diashmi ina an amar v'lo afresh. If I only would have known that there's a mitzvah sasay and a los asay and kfiyas based in, when you just said, but you were never even mafresh which animal you're going to bring as a carbon, I would say mishum tol kaimi li dibure, because this person wasn't even mekayim as dibur. He said a raya like carbon and he didn't do anything. Aval afresh v'lo akriv, but if he was at least mafresh the carbon and he just wasn't makriv it yet, say ema kol hechadise because of the rachmani. You say once he was mafresh it already belongs to Hashem, so he did something. He now designated this animal as belonging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wherever it is, it's in the reshus of gavoa. So it's as if, in a certain sense, he was mekayim as neder. So I would think it's not a violation of an asay and a los asay, and not subject to kfiyas bezdin. Tzricha, that's why I need to be told both. That's why I need to be told that even if he was afresh v'lo hikriv, that he's still subject to all of these things. The achronim raised the question that works for chatos and hashamos and nedarim and nedavos. How does that work for tzedakah? Tzedakah was one of the items on the list. By tzedakah, what are you going to say? That kol hechad yisa begazad rachmani yisa? Even if you were a mafresh and the aniyim were zocha, but the tzedakah is a goal-oriented mitzvah. I mean, the point is that the aniyim should have the money. The aniyim don't have the money. How could that be anything? That can't be any kiyum of tzedakah. See, achronim are bothered by how that would apply to tzedakah. But anyway, we have to say the other side now. V'yashmina afresh v'la'akriv, if it only would have told me it's a violation of an asay and a los asay and subject to kfiyas based in a case where you were actually mafresh the animal, you just weren't makrovit, I would say that's because you're delaying and you're keeping an animal that belongs to kachim in your house. So that's terrible. Avalamar v'la'afresh, but if you just said, yeah, I'm going to bring a carbon, and you just never did anything about it, eimat dibur lav klumu, I would think that it's just a dibur bialmas. So you said, all right, by carbon, that doesn't really do anything. It's not considered like having any mamashas to it to be in violation of bal ta'achir. So tzricha, that's why the Torah has to tell me that in both of those cases, that's why I need two sets of psukim, in both of those cases, at both of those stages, both when I'm amar v'lo hifrish, and when I'm hifrish v'lo hikriv, then in both of those cases, it's a violation of an asay, a los asay, and there's going to be kfias bezdin. The kasha that the Rishonim are bothered by is that it sounds that even by tzedakah there's a din of kfias bezdin. However, the Gemara and the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us in the first paragraph of Bava Basra and Daf Ches, the Gemara says that we're memashkin in al tzedakah even on erev Shabbos. So the Rishonim are all bothered by the kasha that there's Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Yud that bezdin is not musar and the mitzvah say shematan schar betzida, that whenever you have a mitzvah say in the Torah that the matan schar is written next to the mitzvah, so the bezdin is not going to be kof on such a mitzvah. Tzedakah, it says, ki beglala dover hazeh yivrecha Hashem Elokecha. So it's matan schar betzida. So how could it be that bezdin is going to be kofer for tzedakah? It's mitzvah say shematan schar betzida. So Tosus and Bava Basra and Daf Ches over there quotes like three or four different terutzim to this kasha. Rabbi Natam says that bezdin is not kofer b'kfiyah mamish, but at least kfiyah b'dvarim. Right? There's different types of forcing. Right? When your mother forces you to do something, she's not physically forcing you; she just guilts you into it. Right? So you that's kfiya b'dvarim, that a person is cajoled into doing it. So Bezdin will do that. Or Rabbi Natan says that the Sugya Maseches Bava Basra is talking about that they were makabel on themselves, that the gabayim have the right to be kofer for tzedakah, meaning the community hired gabay tzedakah, and part of the job description of gabay tzedakah, that the whole community accepted upon themselves, but that these gabay tzedakah will have the right to be kofer. But ein chinami, under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to be kofer. Or the Ri suggests that by tzedakah there's a los asay. It's not just a mitzvah sasay shematan schar besida. It also says los amitzvah levavcha v'los sikbos. So we're kofed not for the mitzvah sasay, but for the los asay element of tzedakah. And then Tosos quotes from a ritzba that says that that which Bezin is not musar, a mitzvah shematan schar besida, that just means that Bezin doesn't get punished themselves for not forcing you to do it. But Bezin still has a responsibility to force us to do it. That's what it means that Bezin is not musar, a mitzvah shematan schar besida. Not that they're not supposed to do it; they are supposed to force us to do it. It's just that they're not going to get punished if they don't force us to do it. The Taz says what you would imagine would be the simplest answer, and that is that in a chinami, by regular tzedakah, Bezdin is not kofa. But when one takes a neder to give tzedakah, then they're kofa, not mitzad tzedakah, but mitzad the neder. When we're talking about bal ta'acher, we're not just talking about stam that a person doesn't give tzedakah. There's no bal ta'acher from the time I earn my paycheck until I give my meiser money. There's no bal ta'achar on that. There's bal ta'achar from when I take a commitment to give tzedakah, a neder to give tzedakah, and then I don't follow through on that commitment. And that's what this is. That's what this is talking about. Minchas Chinuch says a little different. He says that tzedakah is not even a mitzvah shematan schar betzida, because it's dafka when all of the psukim that are written in the Torah related to that mitzvah also have matan schar betzida, like by kibud aveim. Whenever it says kibud aveim, it says the man yarichnu yamecha. It talks about the arichus yamim that you get for kibud aveim. But by tzedakah, there's so many psukim about tzedakah. So in one place it tells me the matan schar of tzedakah ki beglal davar zayv recha shemel kecha. But in all the other places it doesn't, and therefore says the Minchas Chinuch, this wouldn't qualify as a mitzvah shematan schar betzida. So anyway, says the Gemara back inside, mimatzis amrit. Can you really say that the psukim talk about the amar v'lo afrish, that if a person just said that he wants to give a neder and a dove or a carbon and he was not mafrish it, that he's already in violation of nasei alos asei, and that he's going to be subject to kfias bezdin v'nedava ksiva? The both psukim talk about a nedava utnan ezu neder haomer hare alai ola. A neder is when you take a personal commitment. Ve'ezu nedava haomer hare zo ola. Ola is when you identify the animal that you're going to be bringing as an ola. And what's the nafkamina between a neder and a dava? Is neder meso nignav chayv b'achriyusav. Person takes a neder that even if something happens to the animal, since it's a din in the gavra, it's a din on him that he has to bring it, so he is going to have to replace it with another animal. But nedava meso nignava enu chayv b'achriyusav. But in nedava, since it's not a din in the gavra, it's a din in the chefza, it's a din in the animal, if that animal gets lost or dies, so he's not going to have to replace it with another animal, because he was mechayev himself to bring that animal for a carbon, not any other animal for a carbon. Once it's stolen or lost, he's not able to be mechayev that chiyuv, but he doesn't have to fulfill it with some other animal. So since the pasuk is being marba nedava as well, when he says harezu carbon, how could you say that it's amar v'lo hifrish? The whole definition is that you're hifrish, that you said harezu. So there's no amar v'lo hifrish. Say harei alai, there could be amar v'lo hifrish. You say harezu, you're identifying the animal right then and there. So there can't be a chitimza of amar v'lo hifrish. So amrava mishkach sekondamar harei alai ola. He says harei alai, but it still has a din of a nedava because he says al menashe nichayv bachriyusa. He adds a tanai that he wants it to follow the rules of nedava. So even though he's saying harei alai b'losh neder, but he's saying b'losh neder al menas, that it should follow the rules of nedava. And in that sense, it's a nedava because he's not going to be chayv bachriyusa, but he can have a situation of amar v'lo hifrish, that he made the verbal commitment without actually being mafrish. The Achronim work on the question, why is that not considered masna al mashe kasuv b'Torah? Meaning, if the Torah tells you what a neder is, the Torah tells you what a nedava is, so you're going to say, I'm going to take a neder, but it should follow the rules of a nedava. That's very nice that you're going to say that it should follow the rules of a nedava, but the Torah doesn't say that it should follow the rules of a nedava. So that's a kasha that the Achronim work on. Okay, so says Gemara, b'ficha zu tzedakah. So we said in the Braisa that all of these halachos, it's a violation of an asay, and a los asay, and bezim can force you when it comes to tzedakah as well. Amrav, tzedakah mechayiv ala li'altar. Thing is, with tzedakah, you don't have to wait three regalim to violate bal ta'achar. You violate bal ta'achar with tzedakah immediately. As soon as as soon as you take the neder, you don't take care of it, it's a violation. My time, ta'akai mi aniyim, because there are always aniyim there, so you can't wait until regal passes. The zman of giving tzedakah is when there are aniyim right in front of you. So you have to be mekayim the neder right then and there. So wait a second. So when does one violate bal ta'achar and tzedakah? First it said, li'altar. It sounds like as soon as I take the neder, write a check at that moment. Then it says, why is it li'altar? Ta'akai mi aniyim. I don't know. I don't see aniyim in front of me right at this very moment when I took the neder. So I might meet an ani later today. Maybe I'll meet an ani next week. But there's no kaimi aniyim. So this is a discussion in the Rishonim, what the sugya means. Tosus understands that only if kaimi aniyim do you violate right away. Without kaimi aniyim, then it's going to be gimel regalim. You have up until three regalim. But no way you have more than three regalim. Let's say you live in a rich neighborhood and you never see if you live in a rich neighborhood, you see plenty of aniyim. But let's say you live all alone, and you never ever see aniyim. No ani is ever gonna come. So you go years without seeing an ani. So you can't say that you don't violate bal ta'achir. Then three regalim is the max. Then you're gonna violate bal ta'achir. But as soon as you see an ani, that's the earliest time you violate bal ta'achir. That's how Tosfos understands. The Rashba understands that you don't violate bal ta'achir until after three regalim. But over here, meaning three regalim is always gonna be the bal ta'achir. What our Gemara is talking about is not bal ta'achir. It's about mitzvos v'sechet tishma. It's about a separate mitzvah to fulfill that which you said. That's b'kai mi aniyim. That's when you. That's what you violate b'kai mi aniyim. The sheet of the Ran is both the lav and the asay you violate immediately because tzedakah is not totally in sholosh regalim bechlal, that you violate it right away. It has nothing to do with sholosh regalim. Sholosh regalim has no impact on the mitzvah of tzedakah. So machlokes rishonim exactly how this plays out. What the Gemara is talking about over here, b'kai mi aniyim. This also plays out in a very famous comment of the Chavetz Chaim that is quoted by the Dvar Avram and is alluded to in the Mishnah Brura, but not explicitly stated in the Mishnah Brura. The Dvar Avram writes in the name of the Chavetz Chaim that since when there are aniyim there, there's an immediate violation of Bal Ta'acher, and so any delay is a violation of Bal Ta'acher. He says, you know, it happens very often that people host aniyim in their house for a meal, and they come home from shul, and it's the aniyim are waiting to eat, they're hungry, they're aniyim, and people start singing a nice slow Shalom Aleichem, and they sing Eishes Chayil, and you know, they're schmoozing outside the shul, and they're doing, he said, all of that is Bal Ta'achir, it's Miyad, Aniyim are right there, so Miyad, you have to feed them right away. So that's what the Dvar Avram says, it's a Ha'ara Yafa, it's a nice Ha'ara that the Chavetz Chaim has, but he says, everyone does it. So there's got to be some justification. So he says, what would happen if a person takes a Neder of Tzedakah But at the time of the neder, he says that yes, I'm gonna pay this up, but I don't have the ability to pay it all right now. So I'm making whatever it is, $50,000 commitment, $10,000 each year for the next 5 years. So he's gonna give on January 1st of each year, $10,000 comes due. So it's a violation of Bal Ta'achar for the other $40,000 for the no. Obviously, the chiyuv only starts when the zman that he committed to comes. If the zman hasn't come yet that he committed to, so then there's no chiyuv. When you invite someone to your house for a meal, you're not committing that the second they walk through the door, the food is going to hit them in the face. No, you're committing that you're going to that when it comes time for us to eat, and this is how we run our household. We sing Shalom Aleichem, and we say Yesh Eschayil, we sing Yesh Eschayil. So therefore, when that time comes, that's when we're going to feed you. So the Chafetz Chaim himself alludes to this ha'ara already in the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph Sivkat Aleph. He says that if a person first of all, in the biography, the official biography of the Chafetz Chaim, in Torah Sa'adam La'adam, it says that if a person has guests, the Chafetz Chaim wouldn't say Shalom Aleichem until after Kiddush during the meal. He would wait for the meal to say Shalom, like he would dafka, he had the practice of singing Shalom Aleichem, but he would dafka wait until till after Kiddush when there were anim, because he held like this lahalacha, and he essentially alludes to this in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph as well. Obviously, everything depends on the situation. But Pashto says that the Dvar Avram is correct, that the assumption is that, yes, you're going to feed the Aniyim, but you'll feed the Aniyim when it comes time to eat. Okay, so says Mar Pshita, isn't it obvious that the Zman of Nesinas Tzedakah is right away? That has nothing to do with the Shalosh Regalim? I mean, what would Tzedakah have to do with the Shalosh Regalim? Meaning, when it comes to Karbanos, so that's when you go visit the Beis HaMikdash. So, of course, that relates to the Shalosh Regalim. Me'echi Tesi Tzedakah would have anything to do with the Shalosh Regalim. So, Ma'ad Teim, keeping the Minyan of the Karbanos Ksiva, I might have thought that since the Isra Bal Ta'achar by Tzedakah is included with all the other Bal Ta'achars, so it's written in the context of the dinim of the regalim, adav yale shalosh regalim ki karbanos. So it's only when three regalim pass just like karbanos. So kamash mulan. That's why he has to tell me no tzedakah you violate right away. Hasam with lasan rachmanu the talinu rachmanu beregalim avalach halo dashchichi anim. That it's dafka by the karbanos that the Torah makes it talui on karbanos. But over here by tzedakah it has nothing to do with karbanos. It's all about the presence of anim. Amar Rava. Rava tells us as follows: Kivin shavulav regal achas regal echad over baasei. That even though it may take three regalim to violate the lo saseh of Bal Ta'acher, but the mitzvah saseh of uvasa shama vevesim shama, that's right away. That's on the very first regal. A person has a mitzvah saseh. So meisve hey Rabbi Shuv Rabbi Papias al vlad shlamim, that they were made about the offspring of a carbon shlamim. Carbon shlamim was kadosh with kedushas karman, and it was pregnant. So the vlad that it gave birth, it was a carbon shlamim. So what do you do with it? Sheyukav shlamim. You got to bring it as a shlamim. It has kedushas shlamim. So Amar of Papias. We had a mommy animal that we ate on Pesach as a carbon shlamim, and the vlad we ate on Sukkot. Wait a second. If on the first regal you already violate the assay, how did they wait till Sukkot? I understand they didn't eat it on Pesach because maybe it was too young to be brought. You have to wait till the baby's 8 days old until you could be makrivit. So maybe it was born an erev Pesach, so they couldn't bring it that year on Pesach. Okay, that I understand. They didn't bring it on Pesach. But how did they not bring it on Shavuos? If a single regal is already going to be a violation of an assay, how did they let Shavuos come and go? How did they wait till Chag? They waited all the way till Sukkot? Says more. A couple of answers. Amar Zim Mishrei Duraba Kigon. The case must be Shaya Chola Ba'atzeres, that the animal was sick on Atzeres and therefore it wasn't ra'ui to be brought as a carbon. Another answer of Ashi Amar V'chalnu Vladim Shlamim B'Chag DeKatani Chag HaShavuos. When it says that we ate the Vlad on Chag, it's Chag just means a holiday. It doesn't mean Sukkot. It means Chag HaShavuos. Now normally Stam Chag means Sukkot, and but over here it must mean Chag HaShavuos V'idach, and the Rav Zvid didn't give that answer because Kal Hecha Tani Pesach Tani Atzeres, because Rav Zvid would say anytime a Mishnah or a Braisa mentions Pesach, it would never refer to Shavuos as Chag, because in the context of mentioning Pesach, you might think that Chag is Sukkot, because Stam Chag is normally Sukkot, so it would always call Shavuos Atzeres. So the Rav Ashi would respond back, yeah, that's when it's not obvious which Yom Tov referring to. But over here, since there's an Isra say to delay, it's obvious that the Yom Tov that they were referring to was Shavuos, so there's no problem with calling it Chag. V'yamarava, kivin shavra lev shlosha regalim, once three regalim pass, b'chol yom v'yom over Baal Ta'acher, the Isra Baal Ta'acher now becomes a daily violation of Baal Ta'acher. That each day there's a new Isra of Baal Ta'acher, because during the Laila, it's not, the nighttime is not Zman HaKrava, so it's like a new chiyuv that comes every day when you have the ability to bring the carbon. So each and every day, it's a violation of Baal Ta'acher. The Achronim work on the question of what does that mean, b'chol yom v'yom? Does that mean b'chol rega or rega? Or does that mean b'chol yom v'yom? Meaning, is it that at the end, is there any reason to do it earlier in the day? Meaning that the violation just comes at the end of the day? And then the Tshuvas B'tzal HaChacham, B'tzal Stern, discusses l'gabei tzedakah. If you don't give tzedakah right away and you violate Baal Ta'acher, so is it a violation b'chol yom v'yom like a karban as well or not? And he says, and even if you say that it's b'chol yom v'yom, is that dafko or is it only b'sof hayom? And nafkamina, like we said, do you have to give it early in the day or can you wait toward the end of the day to give the tzedakah? Now the Ritva writes, v'cheina din b'tzedakah kal heichi dekaim yanim afilu li'alter kol sha'a over alav. So the Ritva sort of answers both questions. He says tzedakah is also included in this b'chol yom v'yom, and b'chol yom v'yom is lav dafka. It's called sha'a. It's nothing to do with nighttime not being, certainly, or maybe it's dafka by tzedakah that we say it's called sha'a, because the chiv continues through the night as well, whereas by karbanos, the chiv stops at night, so maybe that would be more, it would lend itself more to b'chol yom v'yom. Anyway, so that's the chiddush of Rava, that each and every day is a violation of Baal Ta'acher. So meisvei, the Gemara challenges, echad b'char v'echad kol ha'kachim, kivin shavar aleim, shana below regalim, regalim below shana, over Baal Ta'acher. Then when it comes to all kachim, if either a year passes without three regalim passing, or three regalim pass without a year passing, it's already a violation of Baal Ta'acher. Whichever comes first, three regalim or a year. So it says, why is that a kasha on Rava? Where is that a stira to anything Rava said? So Rav Kana, mandika mosif, shaper kamosif, michti tana alavi kamahader, listening b'chol yom v'yom over Baal Ta'acher. That if the Tana is looking to come up with the most isurim, right, with the strongest way that a person, the strongest statement you can make about Baal Ta'acher, and it's true that there's a violation each and every day in Baal Ta'acher, so why would it pick this statement that, oh, you know, you could violate Baal Ta'acher just by going through a full calendar year, even if you don't go through three regalim. There's a stronger statement to be made. You could say you violate Baal Ta'acher each and every day once the three regalim pass. And Rava would say the Tana is just trying to tell us every situation where there's an Isra of Baal Ta'acher. He's not trying to tell you how to violate a million Baal Ta'achers. He's trying to tell you what the circumstances are where there's a violation of Baal Ta'acher. Gufa. We let that line slip over there. We said that if a year passes without regalim, or regalim passes without a year, it's a violation of Baal Ta'acher. What? Bishlam regalim below shana. I understand that you could have three regalim pass without a year passing. Mishkachasla. That happens all the time. Start the clock on Erev Pesach. By the end of Sukkot, you already violated three. You already passed through three regalim. El shana below regalim. Hechem mishkachasla. But how do you have a whole year pass, a calendar year go without three regalim passing? So honey chlamandis like kesidron mishkachsa. Well, if you hold that in order to violate Baal Ta'acher, the three regalim have to go in order, so it's got to be Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. So then it could happen very easily, because let's say you took the neder right after Pesach, so you can have to wait till Shavuos, Sukkot, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. That's way more than a year, so you could have a year pass without going through the regalim. El mandalas like kesidron hechi mishkachsa. But if you don't hold that the three regalim have to go kesidron, then how are you can ever find that there's a violation? That you'll have the passage of a year without the passage of three regalim. So bishlam el Rabbi mishkachsa b'shana mu'beres. According to Rabbi, it makes sense you could have such a thing in a leap year, because Rabbi holds, how do we measure a shana? D'tanya shana tamima. When it comes to bat erichoma, so the pasuk says shana tamima. Rabbi Omer mona shalosh meos v'shisha mechamisha yom k'minyan mosachama. The word tamima tells me that it's a longer year than you would normally think a year is, which means it's a solar year, 365 days. So the Chacham say, no, it's just 12 months exact. exactly 12 months from Nisar B'Shan and Nisar B'Low. And if it's a Shanamu Beres, the extra days that in that year go to the Mocher. And during that entire time, the Mocher can be Goel his field. So Mishkach, so the Rabbi, I understand that you could have such a thing that you'll go through a full calendar year without hitting Sholosh Regalim. Da Akdisha Basr Chagamatos, Chimata Shili Adr Basra'a, Shanam Aliyah Regalim Lamalu. It's a leap year, and you were Makdish the animal right after Pesach, so you by 1 year later, which is defined as 365 days later, since it was a leap year, you're not yet caught up to the lunar calendar, so you didn't yet get to the next year's Pesach, so you didn't have Shalosh Regalim. El Rabbanan Hechim Shkachsa, but according to the Rabbanan, how do you ever have a Shana below Regalim? So Ketetani Rav Shmaya, Atzeres Pam Chamisha Pam Shisha Pam Shiva, that the Yom Tov of Shavuos does not fall on the same date every year. Sometimes it's on the 5th of Sivan, sometimes 6th, sometimes the 7th of Sivan. Haketzad Shnei Malayin Chamisha. If both months Nisan and Iyar are 30-day months, so then it's going to fall out on the 5th day of Sivan. Shnei Chaserin. If both Nisan and Iyar are 29-day months, Shiva, then it's going to be on the 7th day of Sivan, because it's when you finish counting the Omer. That's when Shavuos is going to be Echad Malay VeEchad Chaser. If one day is Malay, 1 month is Malay, 1 month is Chaser, then it's going to be Shisha B'Sivan. So it could be that you go through a whole year because without passing three Regalim, because in the previous year the Shavuos was on the 5th day of Sivan, and next year it's going to be on the 7th day of Sivan. So from and you took the neder on the 6th day of Sivan. So you took the neder the day after last year's Shavuos, and it comes out the year is up on the day before next year's Shavuos. Man Tana the Palagalei Rav Shmaya. Who's the Tana that argues on Rav Shmaya? So Acherim. It's Acherim. They're the ones that disagree with Shmaya. They hold that it's not possible that Iyar and Sivan will both be Malei or both be Chaser. It's always that they switch off. The Tanya Acherim Omrin. There's a 4 day difference in the weekdays between 1 year's Rosh Hashanah and the next, or 1 year's Shavuos and the next. I mean, it's always on a fixed calendar of alternating Malay and Chaser months. So if Rosh Hashanah was on a Sunday this year, it'll be on a Thursday next year. And if it was a Shana Mubaris, Chamisha, then there's a five day difference. Okay, we'll stop there. So we're about to hit the three questions about some of the details of Baal Ta'achar, but Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with that with Bai Rebbe Zeira tomorrow. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Shabbos.